today's the Feast of St. Patrick. And perhaps that means more to me than anybody else here because I grew up with the influence of Irish culture. I have Irish background myself, and I grew up in a town that celebrated St. Patrick every year with a big parade and lots of drinking. And maybe that strikes me here. I don't think St. Patrick is particularly popular. But as I said at the beginning, Patrick is like a seed or like a plant that has borne lots of fruit. That was a kind of a poor reference to the readings where it says that the man who trusts in the Lord is like a tree planted beside the waters, and the branches reach out all over. That was in the first reading and in the psalm. So St. Patrick is like that tree, and his the branches of his faith have spread all over because the Irish made such great missionaries. There have been Irish missionaries here too. The Columbans, I know. I've met Irish missionaries here in the Philippines. And they're not like the Spanish. The Spanish have lots of colorful devotions and lots of things that attract people. But the Irish are kind of, you wouldn't say boring, but they're very straight and solid. So they just won't change. And then they won't deviate from the faith, at least in the old days. So that's why they were such great missionaries, because nothing could change them from their task of proclaiming the gospel. And as you know, they spread the faith all over. Well, as I was thinking about this, this is a personal reflection, so maybe it's not what anybody else would think about during this day when we're looking at the rich man and Lazarus. But I'll tell you what happened. I was reflecting on Ireland a little bit. Of course, as I look toward Europe, how could I not think about Ukraine, which is where Europe's focus is now, and pretty much of the world is concerned about the terrible invasion of Ukraine by the Russians. Last weekend, I was preparing my homily for Sunday and trying to figure out a way to talk about the Transfiguration. Transfiguration is that moment of glorious vision before going down the mountain to face the cross. So I was trying to think of something that was like that. And I remembered reading a headline about somebody seeing a vision of angels over Ukraine. Maybe you saw that news. I didn't read it, and I don't always pay attention, but it came back to my mind as I was preparing to speak about the Transfiguration. So I did a little research. I thought, great, I could say a great combination. Angels appearing at the time of an invasion. I mean, that combination of a glorious vision and terrible suffering is the message that we had on Sunday from the gospel. So it sounded great. So I looked it up, put in my Google search, Ukraine angels. Well, to my dismay, the first thing that shows up is some news about a Ukrainian lingerie company that dressed up young girls in sexy underwear and had them pose in seductive ways. And I don't know why they're called angels. Maybe that's the name of the company. Anyway, so that doesn't, that's, couldn't put that in a homily. And then another terrible news story, there was actually a pornography studio called Ukrainian Angels. So here I am looking for something positive, and I ended up with something really negative. I did also find this story about the angels. The Archbishop of Kiev, the capital city, the Archbishop Shevchuk, or Major Archbishop Shevchuk from the Greek Catholic Church, gave a message a couple of weeks ago in which he said that people have told him that they saw luminous angels over Ukraine. And the patron saint of that city of Kiev is St. Michael, the archangel. So, I mean, it's third-hand messages, and I couldn't use that to talk about the Transfiguration because I got bogged down with the ugly news of what other things that are going on in Ukraine. But it came back to my mind today because this contrast is our journey through this world. Glorious vision of what God has in store for us and the mess that we make of the world. Angels and pornography, angels and war. Glory on the mountaintop and the evil which results in the cross. So that's what I had in my mind. St. Patrick, when he went to Ireland, remember, St. Patrick's first trip to Ireland was because he was kidnapped and sold into slavery. It was no missionary journey. It was evil done to him when he was a teenager. So he's not even Irish. That's the funny thing about him. He's from Great Britain somewhere, maybe England or Scotland. So he's kidnapped or sold, I don't know exactly the details, and he ends up in Ireland as a slave, working as a shepherd. He escapes as a young man, goes back to Europe, to the mainland, and eventually, I don't know the story of his conversion, but he becomes a priest, a bishop, and then he's sent back or goes back to Ireland as a missionary. And that's when the stories that we are more familiar with come up. He was able to overcome the pagan religions there because of the strength of his faith and also because God used him to do miraculous things. And his success was remarkable. Ireland isn't a very big place. It's a pretty small island, but he traveled all around the island and was able to plant the Catholic faith there very, very solidly. But it was a mess. He was persecuted. He was sometimes tortured. He had lots of opponents. And so it says he has this vision of bringing the gospel, and in the process, he has to face evil. That can be very discouraging unless we see things from God's perspective. We back off and say, well, how does this all end up? And that's what today's readings help us see. The fate of the evil man and the fate of the just man in the first reading, completely different. Cursed is the man who trusts in human beings. Maybe he doesn't seem cursed in this life, because he can do what he wants, he has money and power, but in the end, we'll see what happens. And blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Well, he might not look blessed in this life because he's persecuted and opposed and suffering. Contrast couldn't be more sharper than we see in today's gospel between the rich man and poor Lazarus. The rich man has it all, and Lazarus has nothing. And it seems like, well, it is unfair. That gross inequality is grossly unfair. It shouldn't be like that, but that is the way it is. And we know that in our times, even though what they call extreme poverty has been reduced greatly in the last 20 years, the UN really boasts about this, how extreme poverty has been cut way, way down. But the contrast between the richest and the poorest is worse than ever, because the richest keep getting richer and richer by the billions, and of course the poor, they just get poorer because they don't have anything anyway. They're the Lazarus. And there's a lot more Lazaruses than there are rich men. Anyway, this is the world as it is now. And the rich can persecute the poor. The powerful Russians can march into Ukraine, although they're not perhaps as dominant as they thought they could be. But evil seems to have the upper hand so often in this world. But that's not the end of the story. Rich men die and poor men die. Everybody dies. The great equalizer. Doesn't matter how much you have or how much you don't have, you're going to die. Part of the message of Lent is to remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return. That's where we started, Ash Wednesday. Remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember that it's not going to be like this forever. So if we're in the condition of richness, and all of us are relatively rich by comparison to Lazarus, well, we should realize that we're not going to take any of that with us when we die. And if we're in the condition of Lazarus, we should realize we're not going to be in this condition forever. We're going to die. That's when the parable turns us around completely. It looked at the beginning like the rich man had it all and Lazarus had nothing. We realize, wait a minute, that's completely wrong. The rich man has nothing, not even a drop of water, and Lazarus has it all after death. Lazarus has it all. He has not just the temporary comforts of this world, purple cloth and sumptuous food. He has eternal comfort, symbolized by the embrace of Abraham. He has eternal security, freedom, joy, peace, happiness. Lazarus has that, not the rich man. The rich man is tormented not only in his thirst, but also in his inability to do anything for anybody, even his own brothers. He's helpless, and he feels the confinement in the flames. It's too late, rich man. It's too late. Now is this life is the time to do things for others, to be sensitive to the needs of others. After this life, it's too late. That's what this parable tells us. Now it's a great parable, it's an enlightening parable, but it's also a terrible message, because it shows us that things do come to an end and there's a judgment. That's it. So remember that. We are told to remember that. So if we're reflecting on Ireland, which is pretty much a disaster and from the perspective of the faith nowadays, I don't know if you know how quickly they've turned away from the faith. But anyway, that's Ireland's problem. Then we look at Ukraine and you see the evil being done there and the tsunami of refugees, millions. And there are millions of people who have fled not only their homes, but fled the country. It's up toward 3 million now. What do you do with a million people? There are people who have no job, no home, no food, no money. And there's a million of them in Poland. What are you going to do with all those people? Well, the rich man is the one who's supposed to take care of them. The rich man, the rich countries, and the rich people are supposed to take care of those people. They're the Lazaruses now. And that is happening to some degree. The Polish are really stepping up in a beautiful way. And the other Romanians, the neighboring countries are doing a remarkable job of caring for the Lazaruses that are streaming across the borders. But this is the world. What we're being reminded by the scriptures is, yes, we live in a world where we might see glimpses of glory, but we live in a mess. We live in a messy world, but that's not how it will be after everyone is equalized and everybody is drawn before the judgment of God. We are made for glory, so let us use our limited time in this life for the glory of God and for the salvation of souls. If you want to get a lesson from St. Patrick, that's what it is. Work hard for the glory of God and the salvation of souls.